I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We are all entitled to sexual health, just as much as physical and mental health.
We want to make it easier for folks to find resources. However they engage with us, there's no wrong door.
So it's important that people are able to get access to care that is affirming.
Talking about what their sex life is, about their concerns, and to make sure they're healthy.
Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your sexual health matters. Visit doitforyoumc.org.
What is going on, Rush Nation? Welcome back to Fast Action Friday. It is the final week of the fantasy regular season. As you can see, Pitsy couldn't join us tonight, and Rob was nearly a late rollout as well for this one. What's going on, mate?
just been hit by the flu bug the last few weeks. So I am Len sipped up. I've got layers on. Got my water ready to go. So yeah, it's just what happens, like the wear and tear of the season, isn't it? That's what you can find, is that people will get illnesses as well, and you just got to keep going on.
That's it. I think everyone's a bit banged up by this time of the year anyway, but without further ado, let's jump straight into it with Thursday Night Throwback. It was the Raiders against the Rams last night, and it was the Rams that came out victorious. It was a Baker Mayfield-led Rams, wasn't it, for the most part? Came in early in the game for John Wolford, who went down and who was questionable anyway, but came in, made completions, moving the chains, fizzled out in the middle a little bit, but it was a very, very nice ending. A 98-yard drive, ended with a touchdown to win the game. And talking to Baker Mayfield, just jump straight into the QB coverage. Like I said, he replaced John Wolford early in the night. He went 22 of 35 for 230 yards, plus that passing touchdown to win the game. Bagged us 14.2 points. On the other side, Derek Carr, woeful. 11 of 20, 137 yards, two interceptions, no scores. Got you about 4 points.
Yeah, the Raiders were quite lucky to hold on as long as they did, to be honest. That opening drive from Jacobs, which we'll come to in a little bit. And then from then it was just field goals. And like you say, the offense fizzled out in the middle of the game. And had anyone like turned the TV off with like 3 minutes to go in the game, they would have thought the Raiders had it comfortably in the bag. But no, turns out that that was not the case, and that's why the NFL is so good. A star that was expected to do well, but also had a bit of a vocal rivalry with Jalen Ramsey, was Davante Adams. He was kept very quiet during the game. 3 receptions for 71 yards. You know, 2 of those were big chunk plays as well. It wasn't anything outside of those receptions. Josh Jacobs saw the bulk of the carries with 27 carries, 99 yards, and then the opening touchdown. Turns out it was the only one of the night for the Raiders. And then Mac Hollins was getting in on some of the running action as well. He had several sweeping runs to move the chains as well, which was quite nice to get him involved in that part of the game. For the Rams, Cam Akers scored, in my eyes, a disputed touchdown. It's really difficult to see whether he crossed the goal line or not, but they gave it to him in the end. 42 yards on that touchdown off 12 carries. And then Ben Skoronek, 7 of 8 for 89 yards. Van Jefferson with a winning touchdown, 2 completions of 44 yards. And then there's Tutu Atwell as well. I felt like Mayfield did really well to build up that connection with those players in the game, considering he only turned up 2 weeks ago, two days ago even.
Yeah, it was a case of it wouldn't have mattered who was on the field, I don't think, in terms of pass catchers. He had no choice but to use whoever was there. It would be a bit different if he had been with the offense when Cooper Kupp was there, maybe. But yeah, he done a fine job, Mayfield, I think. And Ben Skoronek had a really good night, didn't he, for him. But defensive coverage, 2 picks for the Rams, but that is literally all they came up with. The Raiders, they got 4 sacks on Baker, a false fumble that was recovered in the game as well. And that pretty much rounds off Thursday night throwback.
Yeah, that one of the interceptions for the Rams came in the last play of the game as well. So if you had the Rams needing to get some DFS points, they could have done the business for you. But we'll move on to the injury report. So a quick recap of the Thursday night injuries. Josh Jacobs came into this game as questionable with some leg-based injuries and actually went off several times, was questionable to return. One of them was happened midway during the game, had a fumble, which turned out to be down by contact, but he came up holding his wrist or his hand, but then came back onto the field later on. So that's something that we will need to watch out for. Quarterback injuries, there were quite a few last week that popped up in some games. Lamar Jackson, for example, went off last week with a knee injury against the Broncos, and he hasn't practiced this week. So it's going to be Tyler Huntley looking like the starting quarterback for the Ravens and for the ongoing. Geno Smith continued his comeback trail for the Seahawks, but he was limited with a shoulder injury this week. It'd be a shame if he missed out. And then Tua, he was limited with an ankle injury, went out towards the end of the game last week, and he's been limited in practices so far.
I literally just read about Josh Jacobs. It was he basically dislocated his pinky finger. Ooh. And they popped it back in, and he had an MRI after that come back negative, which is great. But they're going to do further ones over the weekend, I suppose, and see where he's at with that. I thought, but it's better than it could be, definitely, at this stage of the season. But running backs, coming from talking about Josh Jacobs a little bit there, but Joe Mixon has been in the concussion protocol, but he could return in a plus matchup against the Browns this week. He's slated to play, you know, Zach Taylor's mentioned it as well, that Mixon's on the right path to play this weekend. Michael Carter with an ankle injury that missed week 13. Zonovan Knight done a lovely job in his short absence, but he hasn't actually been on the injury report all week for the Jets. Someone who misses a game, you thought they would at least, even if it was a full participation, you thought they'd be on there, but he wasn't. And J.K. Dobbins, that knee injury that's seen him on the IR again, he's been doing well in practice this week. And John Harbaugh said before week 13 that week 14 is the target for return. So anybody with J.K. Dobbins currently in their IR spots, get ready, because he could be playing this week.
Yeah, that's going to be quite exciting as well. They had that short-lived return midway through the season, so to actually get him back after the operation and a further operation could be absolutely the right time to get that running game going again, especially with Jackson looking like he's going to be out as well. Wide receivers, Tyreek Hill was out with an illness on Thursday, but as long as he's able to do something in practice on Friday, he should be available for the game. His wide receiver partner, Jalen Waddle, he was upgraded from limited on Wednesday to a full practice on Thursday, so it could be Waddle featuring if Hill can't make it. And then Amari Cooper, he was limited on Thursday, which is bad news if Deshaun Watson wants to keep that pass attack alive. Didn't look the greatest against the Texans. And then finally, T. Higgins was listed as a limited participant on Thursday as well with a hamstring injury. We know about these hamstring injuries. They have been the plague of players not getting as much time as fantasy rosters would like.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like T. Higgins has been on the injury report for the Bengals most of the year, but he's just kind of got through it every week. They rest him just enough and he's kind of ready for the weekend. But moving on to tight ends, David Njoku. Now, he's missed three games this year, but none consecutively. So week 8, week 10 and week 13, because he missed last week again. But it's a different knee injury this time. He has been practicing this week. So that's a great sign for the weekend. And he's a plug and play tight end one, I think. Even more so if Amari Cooper misses time, I reckon. But the other one, Hayden Hurst with a calf injury, injured last week against the Chiefs. Zach Taylor says he is doubtful for Sunday. So I'd make some other kind of plans if you're rostering Hayden Hurst.
Absolutely. One of Pitsy's boys is Hayden Hurst. Right. We shall move on to weak points.
After having no buys in week 12, which was lovely, to only a couple last week, it is Buy-mageddon again. Sorry for that phrase that is ridiculously overused, but we got the New Orleans Saints, the Atlanta Falcons, the Washington Commanders, the Indianapolis Colts, the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears all on a bye this week. So we do drop that in at the start of weak points, but it is a minefield. So I hope you've been hot on those waiver wires this week. But the weakest against quarterbacks anyway, it is still the Lions. It's come down a bit, about 0.7, 23.9 points per game. Now they face Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, my Minnesota Vikings this weekend. And he's been a solid low-end QB1 for most part of the year. The Titans are now second, 21.1. They face the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence. It could be a nice week for him and his pass catchers because we all know you have to go through the air to beat the Titans. The Dolphins have dropped out of the top three and the Raiders slipped down to that third spot. They played Baker Mayfield last night, who had an all right game as well. So that tells you everything you need to know, really.
Yeah, it really does. We'll move straight on to the running backs. The weakest against running backs are still the Texans. They have dropped down nearly one fantasy point per game. So it's actually worth noting that this has been dropping in recent weeks. The last four games, they've only averaged 19.5 per game. So it's big chunk at the start that's having an effect on their average score later on in the season. They've got the Cowboys and the Zeke Pollard 1-2 punch. I think a lot of people have been pleased with how much Pollard is getting in terms of workload now. He's finally been able to show what he can do. So might see Zeke in the short game, might see Pollard making those big runs, but looking good for them at the moment. And then the Browns, again, they have monitored, they've maintained at second, and they are up against the Bengals this week. You've already talked about potentially having Joe Mixon back, but Samaje Perine has actually done well against weak rush defenses. So if Deshaun Watson fails to sustain drives, we might see a lot of running plays from CMC coming in. And then another drop to four. So Seahawks have dropped out of the top three and they have been replaced by the Chargers, who have conceded 25.1 points per game. They are faced at the Miami and Mike McDaniel complex system there. So Mostert, Wilson, I reckon there could be something in the cards there for them as well. If you've got Hill back, maybe you see some runs as well taken away from the running backs, but those two are pretty solid.
Yeah, absolutely. And for the Texans as well, the reason this one's interesting for me against the Cowboys is since they've been doing well the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks, they've not faced a team with two legitimate RB1 candidates. Do you know what I mean? I mean, when Jeff Wilson was against them, Mostert missed the game. And even though they both had an RB 1 week, the week before. And that's just what's interesting to me, is that that 1-2 punch, it could pay dividends this week. But weakest against wide receiver? Titans now. Pitsy would be really happy if he was here, because the Steelers have been up there for most of the season, haven't they? But the Titans, they have finally taken the top spot, 34.9. As mentioned with Trevor Lawrence, it's a big week for the Jaguars pass catchers. Zay Jones had a great week, his best ever week, actually, a couple weeks ago. Christian Kirk is there. He's still in the wide receiver one, top 12 sort of picture. And even Marvin Jones, one of your guys, Rob, actually, you like him, don't you?
I do, yeah.
And dropping to second is the Steelers, 32.9 points per game. They face the Ravens in a divisional matchup. Tyler Huntley in at QB. No wide receivers really there. You got DeMarcus Robinson, but it's going to be a Mark Andrews kind of game, isn't it? And the Lions drop out the top three, and it's the Vikings that replace them. They are 3-4. Overall, who face each other this weekend. 32.2 points allowed from the Vikings. It's got shootout written all over it. I expect big weeks from Amon-Ra St. Brown and Justin Jefferson on this one.
Yeah, you're probably going to see something like a 34-28 scoreline, something like that. You know, it's going to be up there. I feel like we're having a broken record talking about the tight ends and like conceding points to tight ends, because it just seems to be the same three every single week. We talked about the Seahawks, were top of the pile last week. The Cardinals had the bye week. The Seahawks managed to take the chance to come down, so Cardinals are now top of the pile. They're facing the Pats. Johnny Smith has not done too much, so it's likely going to be Hunter Henry there. The Cardinals, like I said, they are facing the Panthers. No real tight end of note here to come up against them. Tommy Tremble, Ian Thomas. Those are the names of our tight ends there, and not really set the light with what they've done so far. And then the Dolphins, they are in third, but they have been creeping up the last few weeks, and now they've actually dropped down a little bit. They're 12.3 fantasy points a game. They are against the Chargers. Gerald Everett could be a decent flex player here. He could be a decent play. So, like I say, if Hurst is out and you've got Everett there, pop Everett in your lineup.
Yeah, the Chargers are a real high passing volume offense. Herbert's got the second most pass attempts in the league behind Tom Brady. And, you know, Everett could be a good play, especially with all the guys back. He could be someone single coverage or man coverage and could be decent. But let's move on to Flex of the Week. So every week we give you someone who we think is worthy of a flex spot on your rosters. And, you know, we dig a little bit deeper maybe. But I think I've potentially gone a little bit safe this week maybe, Rob. What do you think?
Possibly. I mean, I think it's a good play. Like, when you think about some of the other players who feature in this position, you may think of him as a flex. Absolutely.
Yeah, because coming off a bye and a down week the week before, Deonta Foreman is who I'm going for, everybody. So the Seahawks allowed the fourth most fantasy points to running backs, as it might have been mentioned in weak points. They moved out of the top three, but the last three games, they're allowing 168 rushing yards per game. We all know Deonta Foreman loves to get it done on the ground. He doesn't really have that pass-catching upside. They're also allowing an average of 32 carries per game. That is stupidly high volume over them last three. Foreman is a pure workhorse. He will get it done on the ground this week. And I don't see Seattle being able to stop him.
No, he's a powerful back, isn't he? He was definitely a foil to Christian McCaffrey when he was there. He was the power back, very much like Derrick Henry. And if the Seahawks can't stop him, then this could be really good for the play script for that game as well. I chose Khalif Raymond last week, and there was plenty of reasons why I thought he would do really well. I did not take into account DJ Chark coming back and doing as well as he did. So I'm going to take the easy way out here, and I'm just going to say DJ Chark. It's the same reasons. High pass offense. We've already covered that. Jared Goff spreads the ball around really nicely. DJ Chark was quite a nice deep threat, and you know, got some good yardage from the completions he made. And yeah, we've already mentioned that the Minnesota Vikings, you know, have given up a lot of points to the wide receiver position as well. So if it comes to the shootout, I'm hoping that DJ Chark gets a piece of the action as well.
Yeah, he's been all right. He's been getting his fair share since he's been back, without a doubt. And I prefer it to Khalif Raymond, I think, from last week in this matchup. And that's against my own team, you know. So
yeah.
But yeah.
Well, the first pass, Jared Goff's first pass went to Khalif Raymond. I was like, oh, here we go. He only got one other target in the completion in the whole game. So I was a bit disheartened by how it started compared to how it finished.
I mean, you hope I'm right with Foreman being a Panthers fan. I hope you're wrong with Chark being a Vikings fan this weekend. But I think that is about it, mate, isn't it?
Yeah.
But short and sweet, it's Fast Action Friday. You can't expect anything else. Next week is the playoffs. So until then, keep rushing.
HIV is still an issue in Montgomery County. The more open we're able to talk about HIV, we treat it like any other health prevention.
PrEP stands for pre-exposure prophylaxis. People who are not HIV positive, who may be at high risk for contracting the disease, this is a good choice for you.
It's just a way for you to sort of take control and say, I'm going to do this to protect myself. Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about PrEP, the HIV prevention medication. Visit doitforumc.org.